mean, in a sense, that's why this needs to be set up properly. This project needs to, you know, that's the background is essential for setting up the humorous part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
if you go in cold, these stories don't mean anything. They mean they're just funny antidotes as a, or
yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, he had a, and he did use his humor and his insight or stories to diffuse arguments occasionally or to settle issues, and he had an influence there. When I tapped to be chairman of the Natural Areas Committee for the Cornell Plantations, there was a running argument between two other faculty on the campus, Dr. McDaniels and Dr. Clausen, mm-hmm. who in the one case one argued that, well, if these are natural areas, then we should leave them alone and let nature take its course. And the other professor, who came from floriculture and ornamental horticulture and was accustomed to thinking in terms of a plant having a natural environment, but also being one that could be cultivated and managed and enhanced, etc., who felt that, well, natural areas are natural areas, but they're small in some cases, and they may need some management. We may need to keep other species from encroaching on them, or keep agriculture from changing the drainage pattern and causing our cattail marsh to become a wooded, shrubby wetland. And of course, that's part of ecology. Everything changes through time. But we were hoping to hold on to representative natural sites so that students could go and visit these sites. So there was argument for doing it both ways, and those arguments got pretty heated sometimes, whether we would take any action to do things. And so Bill Hamilton was instrumental in making the case that we should move away from the old, forgotten exactly how he put it, move away from the old arguments and paradigms that we've had for managing our Cornell lands, and get some new blood involved in the effort, people who understand both preservation, conservation, and exploitation, I think was his way of looking at it, and possibly bring in someone like Richmond to be chairman of the Natural Areas Committee and let him work to resolve these problems. And so actually at that meeting, I mean, he just sort of surprised us all with this, and so there were discussions, and they identified me as a new chairman for that group, and we all pledged to work and get along and so on, and I worked out a few ground rules that we needed, that we probably had some natural areas that didn't need management and would be fine, but we had others that were boosted frequently and were high use areas and subject to disturbance by outside forces and probably needed some management.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was right. I don't know if he recognized that I would be able to do that. I didn't know I would be able to do that, but he brought it up and laid it at my feet in front of everyone, and so that's what we tried, and it worked for about 18 years. So until I had so many other things to do, I had to move to other kinds of stuff. But that's one of the things that he did. I mean, sort of in a humorous way. There was some humor in there that I can't remember it now. I just remember the tension of Prof. Clausen and Prof. McDaniels staring at each other and with their hands shaking. And
which one was which?
Clausen was the botanist.
He believed in leaving the natural
state.
He
was the natural state kind of person, and McDaniels was the horticulturalist, and also was in favor of the natural state, but with some advocacy for management.
Mm-hmm.